Welcome to the October 5th Jubilize Me podcast. Jubilize Me. So today on the podcast, we have five people from the Drupal community who are doing a tremendous amount of work on Drupal 8. And each one of them is leading up what we refer to as a core initiative. And the core initiatives are a new idea for Drupal 8. They didn't exist in any of the previous development cycles. And basically what it comes down to is Dries had several main things that he wanted to have addressed in Drupal 8, based on the community's desires as well. And to help get these things to actually get accomplished, he handpicked a lead person for each of these particular initiatives that he wanted to achieve in Drupal 8. And so these people are folks who have been involved in the area, obviously, that they've been chosen to lead. And there are many people who've been helping them with the initiatives. But these are the people who are actually organizing things, spearheading them, and making sure that the work is trying to move along as best as possible. So we thought it would be a really good idea to have all of them come on and talk to us about what these initiatives are. A lot of people have not really paid attention to Drupal 8 because it's in that mushy development place and we're not building sites with it yet. But there's a really, really exciting work that's going on in these initiatives. And so we're going to talk to five of these initiative owners. And so the ones we're going to be looking at is there's the multilingual initiative with Gabor Hoichi. There's the web services initiative, which is also called Whiskey, with Larry Garfield. We have blocks and layouts, which is also known as Scotch, with Chris Vanderwater. Then we have the configuration management initiative, which is sometimes referred to as CMI, and then with Greg Dunlap. And then we have the mobile initiative with John Alvin Wilkins. So it's really cool stuff, both from like the Drupal perspective of the kinds of features that people might be looking for, but also from a general just web building and moving things forward in the general web technologies and such like that. So we're going to go through and talk to these guys, figure out what it is that they're doing, where things are, and how that is going to impact you, my dear listener. So I'm here with Gabor Hoichi. Did I say your name right?
Yes, perfect.
Oh, yes. Awesome. Who is the Drupal 8 initiative lead for the multilingual initiative. And he's done a lot of work over many, many years on multilingual issues in Drupal. I'm excited to talk to you about the cool stuff that you're trying to do for Drupal 8. So why don't you start off by just telling us exactly what is the multilingual initiative? Like, what does that mean? What is it trying to accomplish?
Sure. Whoever wanted to or ever tried to build a multilingual Drupal site, you probably figured it out that there are way too many systems in Drupal that use different translations and language support, terminology, user interfaces, modules, approaches. So there's a very rich support in Drupal itself for translating the software, Drupal the software, but it's a lot of pain to download those translation files. There is somewhat good support for translating content, but that's not well supported in contributed modules. There's another method to translate content, and then there's a whole set of modules translating different configuration pieces. So if you start off building a multilingual Drupal site to support a site with different language interfaces, then you're pretty much up to adding 10 to 20 or even more modules to your site and try to figure out how to make them work together and configure them in the right way. So the goal of the multilingual initiative is to build as much base functionality into Drupal core of these modules that we experimented with in Contrib, to make it easier to build these solutions, to unify these approaches. And then as soon as this functionality is in core, then we hope that the contributed modules would be more willing to work with these functionalities. So then the life of Site Builder would be simpler because the contributed modules would work with this base system as well.
Right on. So basically, because I have built a multilingual site, heaven help me. So the idea is to basically just get something like consistent and solid in core, but there would still be contributed modules that could then sort of continue to build off of that. So the idea is to just basically get what you would consider core multilingual functionality actually into core rather than having contributed modules doing it different ways?
Yes, indeed. So so one of the big problems, for example, that we are facing is that there is a content translation module in core that's not well supported in contrib. And there's in Drupal 7, there's a field translation functionality that only has a contributed module that provides a user interface. So there is already two methods to translate things. And if you go in one way, then you are kind of into the route yourself and you can't really go back or go to the other way. And the contributed modules struggle with supporting either one of those, let alone both of those. So what we are trying in the content translation area and in other areas is to pick one method to work in this area and kind of figure that out and polish that up enough that we have one solution in core that caters to as many use cases as possible. And then we can have both users have an easier understanding and contributed module authors have a better time working with the system. So we're trying to make stuff simpler. We are not actually reinventing the wheel in this initiative. So unlike many other areas in Drupal 8 where whole subsystems are replaced with entirely new things, our approach is we are trying to take solutions that we experimented with into contributed module space before, and we are trying to polish them up and get into core and move on with that.
Awesome. Which is sort of a good classic Drupal way of getting things, like play with them in the wild, see what works, see what doesn't work, and then take the best pieces and make them rock. So
yeah, that's what we do.
Right on. So where are you now? So you've been working on this initiative for what, years? How long have you actually been focused on the initiative?
Yeah, the official announcement of the initiative was 2011 May. I've been working on Drupal Multilingual since the first moment I started with Drupal. I kind of looked at my first commit mentions in core recently, and that was fixes for untranslatable strings. So that's exactly where I started at. That was 9 years ago, so I'm still around trying to fix this problem. So it's either a hard problem or I suck at fixing these issues.
I think it's probably a really hard problem.
So there's four layers to my initiative. There's a base language layer, which we built out pretty well. There's nice APIs there and good user and much improved user interfaces for people. There's a layer where we deal with the software translation itself, where we are putting in the localization update module to core, and we are about 75% there, I think. So we are pretty close. And that leg is led by Eric Steelstra. He's doing great work, and he just pledged 50% time for the initiative until December 1st. So that's very great. The third leg of my initiative is about working with the configuration management system that's newly implemented in Drupal 8 and making that support multiple languages, which is essentially the IE10N module being the basics of the IE10N module being built into core, and that's led by Jose Rogero, and he's doing very hard work there. So that also has some of the basics in, and there's a lot of open issues for plugging it into the translation support system and making it possible to use different language versions as needed, etc. So that needs more help with reviews, but Jose is pushing it very hard. And then the fourth leg of my initiative is about content translation that has everything to do with entities. And there I get a lot of help from Fago, whose property API patch got recently committed. And that leg is led by Francesco Plasella. And he's also doing very great work. He has a nice entity translation user interface patch that's waiting to be committed. And once that is in, we can unify under that system, which is going to be a great improvement. So I have these four layers, and three of them have their own great leaders. So if anybody's looking for ways to help in those areas, then either myself or those nice guys can help out.
Awesome. So what is the? So we have Future Freeze coming at the beginning of December. So we have what 2 months, a little less than that, really, to get the main features in. So what would be the number one priority or the main thing that you need real help with to try and push to make that feature freeze happen?
So the most help I think I need in the configuration management area, where we have three or four major patches being proposed and need review. And they are not very complex issues. It's just people have this perception that the configuration management thing should be very complex, but it's not. It's not really that complex. Jose figures out all the more hard things for us, so we just need to review and say whether we like the solutions or not. So he's killing it, basically. So we need more help in that area. And there's also a little help that we need in the entity translation area, but we have more people working together there. So I hope we can work through these by feature freeze. But there's these two areas where we have bigger features that still need to land in core.
Right. Okay. And then once, of course, part of it is how far you get before feature freeze. But assuming that the main goals, the main feature gets in, how does it work after feature freeze? Because the work's not going to end when you hit feature freeze, right?
Yes, indeed. So what we are planning is to get this new entity translation system in core, or not new. So there's already in Drupal 7, but a UI for it in core in 8. And then we need to polish and rework how entities are translated. So once the feature itself lands, we can adapt things to that feature after December 1st, I think. And also for the configuration translation system, we need to ensure that things like shipped configuration, like if you have an exported view that you ship with Drupal core, that is translatable. And we need to figure out any remaining pieces that we need in the integration to make that work. All the major features should be in by December 1st, but given the rush that we have in the remaining 2 months, there might be some rough edges that we need to work out. So that's going to be our focus after December 1st.
Great. All right. Yeah, there's plenty of work to go around for a while, I think. So if people do actually want to help start helping with reviewing and checking things out and getting up to speed on the work, where should they start? When the podcast notes, we'll have the links to the initiative list of initiatives and their pages and stuff. But do you have particular here's where to start?
Indeed. So there are multiple things we are trying to do to get people help us and work with us. First is we have an initiative summary page with all the focus issues highlighted that we use to review in our meetings, and that's always up to date with the latest focus issues. Then we have meetings now every week for the remaining 9 weeks until feature freeze. So we have a meeting October the 5th, and then every other Friday, and we have a meeting October 10th and every other Wednesday. So every week there's either a meeting on a Friday or Wednesday. I have a summary of all the meetings in a post. And then we also have a sprinting presence at Badcamp. So we will sprint on the core summit day, and we do plan to extend our Badcamp stay with 2 more days after Badcamp. So we will sprint on any multilingual issues that need focus at that time And there's also posted information in the sign up sheet for that, so we know who comes. So I think we are well covered with meetings and sprinting opportunities.
Cool. Do you have a URL for where you have the information, the page that you were talking about?
The initiative summary page is actually on my website. It's hojtsy.hu/d8mi, Drupal 8 Multilingual Initiative.
Okay, great. Yeah, and we'll make sure we have that in the podcast notes so people can get there. And if people are going to be at Badcamp, there's going to be a lot of sprinting, so, and a lot of people to help you sprint for sure. But hopefully people will start to get themselves just familiar and up to speed with all the great work going on at Drupal 8 so they can hit the ground running at sprints like that. So, well, thank you very much. And I really hope that that maybe we can find a few people to help out and really push it over the line for you.
Yeah.
Yay. Thanks a lot, Gabor. So now I'm here with Larry Garfield, who is the Drupal 8 initiative owner for the Whiskey Initiative. Now, that sounds like something I could get behind. What exactly is the Whiskey Initiative, and what does that mean?
Hi. So the Whiskey Initiative is actually an acronym. WSCCI stands for Web Services and Context Core Initiative. The name is in part over general because it was a large initiative when it started, and in part a pun because I don't drink, so I'm leading the Whiskey Initiative. The basic idea for Whiskey originally was we wanted to turn around Drupal's page rendering process. Currently, Drupal builds a page in such a way that you cannot build it except as one complete page. And there's a lot of limitations involved in that, not the least of which being that's not the way pages and websites are built these days. That assumption that you're always returning one HTML page at a time is not valid anymore. And then we realized what we need to do to fix that problem is effectively the same thing as panels in core, because that's a pull-based display model. And also the same sorts of changes we would need to make in order to handle things besides HTML. So RESTful web services, things like returning a node in JSON, returning an RSS feed, returning just a one part of a page, one block at a time. Those are all REST. And then a web page is a special case of REST. And what the thing we need to do to Drupal for all of these is effectively the same thing. It's just a very, very big thing. And stubborn guy that I am, we set out to do exactly that and retool the innards of Drupal to support REST-based logic, to support a REST-first approach with a complete web page just being an edge case. And that edge case being much more complicated than most of the others, but built over along the model that the panels module has been using for some time and has shown to be a good, solid model at the architectural level. So that's kind of where we started. That, of course, was big, as you can imagine. So
it's like solving a huge problem.
Yeah. Yeah. No one ever accused me of thinking small. So, you know, after a lot of back and forth and discussion and experimentation, we eventually came to the conclusion right around the end of 2011 that the correct way to do this is to throw out a lot of our core system and replace it with the Symfony framework. Currently in Drupal 7, if you want to serve anything other than a complete HTML page, it's a hack. You can do it, but it's a hack. And we want it to not be a hack.
We're basically taking the Symfony's library around HTTP stuff. And like, so when you get a request, what do you do with it? And we're letting sort of Symfony sort of be the, I don't know, the guts that actually deals with that. And it's designed to be flexible enough that now we can build whatever we want off of it without having to actually fight against what the core system is trying to do. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. I mean, both the services module and panels in Drupal 7 have to do a lot of very ugly work to hack around the limitations of core. If those limitations of core go away And you know, both of those modules are doing essentially the same hacks around Core. If Core it gets fancier so it can support both of those without hacks, then even if those modules continue to exist and contrib, they are way simpler, way easier.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, we're hoping that to a large extent those cease to exist in contrib. That's going to depend on how much we manage to get done. But conceptually, you know, Core should be able to handle a wider variety of stuff that the web actually does these days. The knock-on effect of that is a lot of code cleanup, a lot of more modern development practices, a lot more object-oriented stuff that's not, strictly speaking, part of the Web Services Initiative, but is kind of a knock-on halo effect from it, which I think is just as important, if not more so, than the actual web services functionality itself. Of course, this is also, as you can imagine, an awful lot of work. So back in February, when we made the official decision, okay, you know, using Symfony is the way to go, we also split the initiative in half. And so originally there were four parts to Whiskey. Centralizing all of our context, that is currently global information that, because it's global, means you can't do anything useful. Building a good plugin system so that we can pull apart these systems more easily, recombine them more easily, and build a REST-aware router. And then a router being, you know, what Hook Menu is now. And then block-based layouts, which is basically the panels in Core part. And so that's a lot. So what we did was we took the plugins part and the panels in Core part and split those off to a new initiative, which is called Scotch, that doesn't actually stand for anything. It's just more jokes.
Because Scotch is a kind of whiskey.
Exactly. And that's being led by Chris Vanderwater. I think you're going to be talking to him in a little bit. So I'll let him talk more about that part.
So we know we have feature freeze coming up, right? And the initiatives are trying to get these new features in. Now, we have Symfony stuff in Core in Drupal 8, right? But what is the other, like, remaining, what still needs to get done, in particular, what needs to get done before the beginning of December on this project?
So the biggest blocker that we were working up against just landed yesterday, so that's awesome. So the actual new routing system is in place. So as of yesterday, we can now handle incoming routes using Symfony's router and match on path and on MIME type. The next thing we need there is to finish fleshing that system out. Right now, it doesn't have access control on it. There's a patch for that. It doesn't. There's a patch to help upcast objects. So an incoming node ID turns into a full node object like we do now. That part still is in progress. We do not yet have a library in place that can help route based on the MIME type. So routing text HTML and tech application JSON and application Atom XML, so forth, the different places. That still has to get written. So we do need help on that. Another big one, our AJAX handling system right now needs to get refactored around the new Symfony toolchain. There's an open issue for that as well. I can put all of these links in show notes.
Sure. We will definitely put down a bunch of links for people to dive in. So this is a good overview. I certainly understand what's going on better now. But do you have I don't know, project landing page or something like that? That's like, here's an overview of what we're doing and what we're currently working on. Like, is there a particular place out there, or is it just sort of in the world of groups.drupal.org somewhere?
So we don't have anything off Drupal. Groups.drupal.org/whiskey, that's WSCCI, is our main discussion area. There is a sandbox that we're using for code that we're working on. It's the description on the front page of it I need to update, actually, but the code is, or the repository itself is, fairly up to date with the code we're working on. Probably the best status summary, aside from this podcast, is the presentation I gave in Core Conversations at DrupalCon Munich. Slides for that are online, as is the video. I also just got back from Symphony Live, the Symphony main conference in San Francisco, where I gave the Symphony version of that update, essentially. We can provide links to those for easiest ways, places to get kind of an overview. For specific issues, anything tagged with WSCCI, WSCCI in the core queue is stuff that needs to get worked on. Some of them have a couple of dependencies on them, but there are a number there that are, you know, things that you can tackle now and need people on them.
Great. Well, we'll definitely have a bunch of links in the notes so that people can click through and peruse at their leisure and hopefully dive in and start to play around with the new system. It sounds like it's going to, probably not terribly visible, but in terms of the tools that people will be able to build, will be probably extremely visible to people, especially if things like Scotch and things like that get in there. So,
Between Whiskey and Scotch, what are currently page callbacks and currently blocks merge, and for the most part, all become classed objects. So instead of having a function that you have to always load and then you call from a menu callback, you'll have a whole bunch of classes that turn into objects, and you return content from those. So if classes in PHP scare you, it's a good time to get over that fear, because they're going to be everywhere.
It'll become the new thing. I think for a lot of people, if you're starting, that it'll just be the way it's done. I think that, like, a lot of my fear, I've had quite a lot of fear around OO with PHP and the new changes. And it's mostly because I learned PHP and Drupal, really, more than PHP. If I had to code something purely in PHP, I might freeze up. Through Drupal. And that was all procedural. And there was, like, I mean, we had a few objects and that was it. And as long as you knew to use the little arrow rather than the quotes, you were fine. And so I was more frightened because I knew a certain way, and then everything sort of felt like it was shifting under me. But then once I wrapped my head around it, I'm like, oh, this is so nice. So I think for new people who are coming in, it'll probably be even easier, because it's just going to be, this is simply how it's done. You learn it this way, you move on with your life. So I think it's going to be great stuff. And I think people hopefully will not be as frightened of it as they think they should be, because they really shouldn't.
People I've talked to, I've had more people saying, oh, yay, finally, than saying, oh, crap, now I have to learn OO. Yeah. There are some of the latter, but more people are saying, oh, yay, finally. So this is a large change, but I think it's going to be a good change and a welcome change for most people.
Well, thank you very much for your time. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But
there are plenty of other people who are working on this besides me, and I don't want to minimize the stuff they've done. If you're interested in help being one of them in helping out, I am in the Drupal-Whiskey IRC channel pretty much all business day in the U.S. We have meetings every other Tuesday. Stop by, or just look for the Whiskey tag on an issue and dive in. And then if you have questions, come talk to me. I try to be as available as I can.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot, Larry.
Thank you.
And so now I am here with Chris Vanderwater, who is the Scotch initiative lead. Does Scotch actually stand for anything other than a tasty beverage?
Yeah, it does. It's been a while since I've used the acronym, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to come up with it right here. But during DrupalCon Denver, a number of people threw out that particular name and asked me to quote unquote backronym it. And it ended up being something like standardized content oriented templated content hierarchy or something like that. So we've not really used the acronym significantly, and just kind of used it as a short way to get to blocks and layouts, which is kind of a mouthful.
Gotcha. So what is blocks and layouts?
So really what blocks and layouts is the notion that our block system kind of sucks in Drupal. It doesn't have any notion of the actual content that you're viewing on a page and things like that. And our layout system is intricately tied to the theme that you're actually running. So when you change a theme, you inherently change the actual layout of your page, and you have to rework where all the blocks land. And it can be very difficult. And so there are a number of different modules out there who have attempted to handle this problem, either through a system like Context Module, which tries to kind of be nice to core and provide some very core ways of doing things within blocks, but still make it exportable and that sort of logic, or Pandas Module, which just whole hog removes what core does in favor of a completely different system. And actually, the Blocks and Layout Initiative has gotten much closer to what Panels is trying to do. At least that's the direction we're going. We still have an awful lot of work to get there, but we're working very heavily on going much closer to the way that Panels does things.
Wow. So that's sounds like a pretty massive undertaking. Panels is not a simple module.
No, it's not a simple module. And actually, it's worse than that, because to really do it right, Earl's written a whole bunch of code. He's written Page Manager and Panels and Panelizer and Panels Everywhere. And we kind of need to do all of it if we really want to do it right. And so the kind of target for this is to definitely do the Panels Everywhere approach.
Where, how far are you now? Like, what's the current status on the project?
So that's a really great question, and you know, we've made a lot of improvements, but we aren't anywhere close to where we want to be, and that's just the honest truth. We had an awful lot of foundational work that we had to worry about, both within our own initiative and also within, say, the Whiskey initiative that Larry's been heading up. And so, for example, we needed a robust plugin system that we could depend on to do things like blocks and conditions and layouts and a number of other things. And so blocks being kind of the highest priority of that group. And so a huge portion of my initiative's time actually got dedicated to the plugin system, which is in core. It's working. There are things being converted to it in the issue queues, you know, outside of my initiative. And so that's been actually a really big win. We've put together some great documentation for it. And the community is starting to embrace it, which it's really awesome to see, like, that level of contribution to core being actively used. I have a big, like, 200K patch that I'm working on right now that converts every block into core into a plugin and also updates the blocks administration to be much more similar to maybe Context Module. And so a lot of the stuff that there are various modules doing today, specifically Context Module's block placement, Boxes Module, Beans Module, and Fieldable Panel Panes, these four modules will hopefully not need to exist once that patch lands.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's been my active big push right now. But we've actively started working on the layouts portion of this within the last couple weeks here. Gabor Hoichi, who's actually the multilingual initiative owner, has gotten involved and is helping me push that forward. And so we've got a really great piece of code out there that kind of demos how this can be done right now. And we're debating exactly how to continue forward with that at the moment. But Gabor and Alex Bronstein have both been in that issue, helping refine the code and make it better. And so, yeah, layouts is kind of moving along. And that's sort of a fun place to be working on at this point, because, you know, this is really where things start to happen for real, because it's the bottom most level of the stack. The other really thing I have to do is conditions, and we hardly have a start on that at all. But I do have a couple issues out there regarding it.
So what with the feature freeze deadline, you can get your feature in, still work on things. What are the things that you feel are critical that you need help to get done before feature freeze so that it's in?
Yeah, so there's kind of this dynamic that has been really difficult to deal with here, because we want to have a user interface for all of this stuff, especially with all of the wonderful work that the Spark team has been doing. You know, they've got this responsive layout builder that they'd really like to see in core, and I'd like to see it in core, and the mobile initiative would like to see it in core. But we have to build all these foundational components and get a user interface built over them before we can even start considering a user interface for building responsive layouts that uses it. So we've got the layouts system that I've talked about. We've got the blocks system that I've talked about. Conditions, which I just barely touched on. And then we need to figure out, essentially what we're doing right now for feature freeze is we're trying to figure out how to separate all of those things into their own little features. And then during feature freeze, we would go about trying to integrate all those things to work together. But that becomes really difficult from a user interface standpoint, because they need to all kind of work together to some extent in order for a user interface to have any real meaningful feedback. And so, you know, we're kind of in a catch-22 right now. If we had more time, we'd probably be able to actually make this stuff happen. But at the moment, you know, we're just trying to get as much critical mass behind each of these issues and hope that, you know, the time factors work themselves out. Either all the initiatives get a little bit of extra time or something like that. But, you know, we can't really count on that. So I'm spending a lot of time prioritizing, like, what does core absolutely need in order for us to continue doing these things, but do them better, easier, smarter in contrib. And, you know, hopefully we can just settle on a really great API that makes doing these sorts of things a whole lot easier in contrib and a whole lot more straightforward. And if we make it as far as a user interface, which, you know, both Boyan Summers and Kevin O'Leary over at Acquia have been actively contributing to helping develop those user interfaces, then, you know, we have some plans in place for how we might be able to get those user interfaces in the allotted time, but that's contingent upon us agreeing on a user interface to begin with. So there's a lot of work left to do.
Great. All right. So also the million-dollar question. If people listening out there would love to actually figure out what's going on and help you, where can people get more information about what the Scotch Initiative is doing and how to actually start helping?
Sure. So there are a couple of places. We have a Scotch group on groups.drupal.org. There's not a lot that gets posted there because the initiative has a relatively small number of issues that are just really high impact. But the blocks and layouts prototyping is there for the user interface, and I try to post there anytime there's something really important. Likewise, there's the core group on groups.drupal.org, which anytime we need active review of something, we post there. And then I have a handful of issues, like I said, the blocks as plugins, the layouts, and the conditions issues, which are really the big highlights of what need to be done right now. And I'll provide you with all of those links so that your listeners can go and find that stuff and really get involved. The biggest problem, I think, with my initiative right now with regard to getting people involved is just that there's so much to learn. But we're trying to really make that knowledge accessible. Plugins is another place where people can start to kind of begin helping. Like if they want to convert something to plugins that's not related to our initiative, that really helps if they come back to the initiative at some point. And we provided a full set of documentation for the plugin system as well. So those are kind of the areas where people can get their feet wet. People who really understand how panels works. I'm short on those people. There aren't many of them in the community, and I've done my best to conscript as many of them as I know of, but if there's anybody listening to the podcast who really considers themselves to know the panel system really well, I would treasure anybody who has that level of knowledge coming and working on the initiative, because, like I said, we're really modeling after panels, and so there's a lot of benefit to having people who already know how that works, because we're really close to it.
Awesome. All right. You heard that, people. Get on it. Well, we need to wrap up, but thank you very much, Chris.
Well, you know, one of the big benefits to both CORE and my initiative here has actually been Commerce Guys. And I hate to just like plug my company here all of a sudden, but, you know, they have given me like practically 40 hours a week on this project since the end of Munich.
Wow.
And a lot of time before that, they have intentionally left my plate totally clean to just work on Drupal 8. So there's been a really significant period of time where I've been getting more than even like 20 or 30 hours a week on this project. So they've been very, very helpful in helping to move this forward.
That's amazing. That's the way to get things done. Volunteers have limits, people. all right, but yeah, thank you very, very much, Chris. And hopefully I will see you at Badcamp.
You will.
All right, great, awesome. Okay, that's it.
Thanks.
Yeah, and thanks a lot, man. And now I am with John Alvin Wilkins, who is the initiative lead for the mobile initiative. Does that mean everybody in Drupal gets a free mobile phone?
That'd be nice. I'm in the market for an iPhone 5.
If anybody would like to donate one for John.
No.
what is like mobile for Drupal mean though? Like what are you trying to accomplish there?
Well, the mobile initiative is sort of a unique one amongst all the other initiatives because it is sort of a nebulous term, sort of mobile. but what it comes down to is that there's actually a lot of different things, different aspects that Drupal needs to incorporate into itself in order to really be sort of mobile friendly, and that includes a lot of different technologies. You have, HTML5 for the mobile apps that you need, either that are web-based or, you know, even apps that you download to your phone. A lot of those have HTML5 backends to them. You also need front-end performance, because it's really important that all of your app mobile access is very quick. And while, you know, back-end performance, the PHP performance is an important factor, front-end performance is usually significantly takes a lot more time for that part of the system to render for a particular user than it does to get the actual HTML from the PHP side. And then, of course, we also need to make sure that you can actually access all the pages, including the mobile administration from mobile devices. Finally, we have responsive design, which is an important part of creating themes that are able to, rejigger themselves to be able to be viewed on a whole range of different size devices.
So that sounds like, quite a disparate list of related yet quite different things that you need to try and do within CORE. So how do you do that? Like what's the approach that you have? Like,
well,
different things split out, and like where have you gotten so far, kind of a thing.
Well, we were very fortunate that Jacine led the HTML5 initiative. It was one of the first initiatives to be announced, and that sort of took care of 90% of the stuff that I needed for mobile. So there are a couple little things left in the HTML5 initiative that should be finished up, but we're in really good shape as far as goes. So that one was like really easy because I didn't have to lead that bit.
Done.
Check. That left me with responsive design and front-end performance and mobile administration is sort of the focus focuses for the actual Drupal 8 mobile initiative. It has been a bit of a challenge, but the thing that I try to make people realize, because it's hard to get a grasp on all these different things, is what's the sort of fundamental thing that we're trying to accomplish? Why is mobile important? And once you sort of get that idea into your head, then it becomes a lot easier to say, oh, well, I can help out in this way. And then you sort of find your niche within the mobile initiative.
So why is mobile important? What does it mean?
Yeah, so the there's been a lot of disruptive technologies within, you know, human history, you know, more recently, you know,
that wheel thing was crazy disruptive.
And cars did crazy things to the horse and buggy industry, and you know, so we've had a lot of disruptive technologies that have caused industries completely change and become, you know, just out of existence. You know, there aren't any horseshoe makers anymore. Mobile, you know, internet obviously was a huge one, and mobile technology is another disruptive technology. You know, these smartphones are phones is almost a misnomer. They're, you know, a pocket-sized computer that have communication capabilities, really. And it's such a fundamental change because it really personalizes your ability to communicate and access a rich set of data. So because of how fundamental shift in the way people are using these devices and accessing data and communicating and networking, there's this disruption where things are shifting, and you can, you know, with this big of a change, it's really easy for you know, something like the CMS market to just be completely clobbered by this disruptive technology. So even though, you know, Drupal has been really great in the CMS front, especially, you know, when you consider desktop devices, it can be really, really easy for us to make a misstep and Drupal just no longer relevant anymore. So we really need to make sure that we're keeping up with this new technology and making sure that people, when they think, oh, I, you know, want to access, you know, data and websites and communicate with my friends, you know, how can Drupal help me to do that? And I really think Drupal has a really good, you know, opportunity to continue and evolve to be, you know, a leader in the mobile space. But it doesn't get there automatically. We have to work at it. And that's what the Drupal 8 Mobile Initiative is all about.
So what is like the work that's happening like right now? So with feature freeze coming sooner than it was a while ago, what do you need to get done before the feature freeze so that you can actually have the stuff in there that you actually need?
Right. So yeah, it's less than 2 months away. It's getting really close. Basically, with feature freeze, that basically means that, you know, any new feature has to be committed in some shape, you know, by December 1st, right? And then other things like improving the features that we have and you know, performance improvements, that stuff can happen after feature freeze. So a lot of the front end performance stuff, we can wait until after feature freeze before really working on that stuff. So a lot of the JavaScript improvements, you know, performance improvements, CSS improvements, like using SMAX CSS, SMAX, which is SMA CSS, to like optimize the CSS. A lot of that stuff can happen after feature freeze. But the things that happen beforehand then are things that are really, they're like actual features. So within front-end performance, for example, responsive images, we really like to get a system into Drupal that allows us to have responsive images and working on a lot of that stuff. So we have, we're trying to get a breakpoint API into core where you define the different spots in your design where layout to transition from one layout to another layout, and being able to know those breakpoints helps you define, you know, what are the size of the images that you need. And then, of course, then we need a configuration for, you know, actually configuring, you know, this particular image needs to be these different sizes inside these different layouts. He's been doing a bunch of work with that. We need people to help out with that. We also have Nod, who's been doing a lot of JavaScript stuff, especially with the performance improvements in JavaScript, which is really key because, you know, some of the JavaScripts that we've written work reasonably well. People, you know, sometimes complain about them being slow on desktop browsers, but they're really slow on mobile devices. So we need some help there to get that stuff sort of in shape and being much quicker. One of the things that we're looking at right now is Aesthetic, which is it's a Symfony component that allows us to do pluggable CSS and JavaScript aggregation and some other things. And that would allow us basically, you know, Drupal already has a CSS aggregation technique, but it's general purpose, you know, CMS. But for most sites, you don't want the general purpose solution. You want a specific one, a specific aggregation strategy for this site. And right now, the only way to do that is to turn off Core's aggregation altogether and write your own, which is not that nice.
Not ideal.
Basically, allow like pluggable bits. So you would say, okay, you know what? I don't want to use this particular part of Core, but I'm going to use all the other parts of the, you know, aggregation and bundling process, and then just add in my own sort of custom component into the mix of these other elements that are doing the aggregation and bundling.
Nice.
So, and that work is, you know, underway, and we need more people help with that too. So, and then finally, the third three prongs things that I'm trying to get in before Drupal Core is a mobile administration. And this thing we've been working on sort of navigation patterns, and then Acquia came in with and said, hey, look at our Spark stuff, and what do you think about this? And if a community sort of has buy-in, we'll try to get this to work for Drupal 8. If not, it's okay, we'll do Drupal 7. And everybody at DrupalCon Munich was like, please, yes, let's all help work on this. And so Jesse Beach, who works at Acquia, has been doing is the primary developer that's doing the work on the mobile administration as far as like the new toolbar that's, you know, mobile friendly and desktop friendly and the redesign of that in order to do navigation in the admin side. And we need to get that work done in before feature freeze as well. So
plenty of work to do is what you're saying. What are the resources out there that are available for people to kind of find out what's going on, get up to speed and actually dig in and start playing around with this stuff.
If you're one of those people who likes to like read stuff, go to the Mobile Initiative sort of homepage, which is groups.drupal.org/mobile/drupal-8. But if you are one of those people who likes to sort of listen in and talk, we actually have weekly meetings on Tuesdays. You can actually find the latest meeting from that same page on groups.drupal.org. Like I said, those are weekly, so every Tuesday. And then lastly, we have a Badcamp sprint, which is going to be happening during Badcamp as well as after on the Monday and Tuesday following Badcamp. And you can find that information as well on the same groups page.
So I'm going to see you at Badcamp.
Absolutely.
Yay. We should probably wrap up. Awesome. Well, thank you. That's good.
Bye.
Bye. And so now I am here with Greg Dunlap, who is the initiative owner for the Configuration Management Initiative, also known as CMI, because we love our acronyms in Drupal. But what exactly does that mean? Like, what's a configuration management thing-y?
So in past versions of Drupal, one of the biggest issues that has been encountered is that all of the content and configuration for a site is sort of smushed together in the database. And when you think of configuration, you think of things like views and your site settings and things like this. And when you need to deploy some changes to your site, it tends to be very difficult because with all of that stuff smooshed in there, you don't want to deploy all of that stuff. You don't want to deploy all of your testing content to your live site. You don't want to just dump your database and push it up there because you're going to override all of your users' comments and things like this. And so that's been a problem over time since the beginning of Drupal, actually. In the past, we've managed that using modules like features. Recently has been very popular for that, and C-tools exportables and stuff like that. But those things never really cover the entire breadth of functionality in Drupal. They don't cover all of contrib. They don't even cover all of core. And so what we are doing now is building a centralized system for managing configuration in Drupal 8 with a centralized API and a centralized place for importing and syncing configuration between sites and things like this. So you'll be able to, for instance, have a directory on your Drupal site where all of your configuration lives in files. And then you'll be able to take those files and move them between sites and import them on your remote site to make your stuff live. Or you can put it into version control and share it and do all of those kinds of things if you're a fancier user. But in a lot of ways, for a simpler user, it'll be a lot like doing a Dreamweaver site. Not that you're pushing HTML around, but you're actually just grabbing a bunch of files, pushing them live, pressing a button, and then everything just works. And that's really been the goal that we've been shooting for, is to build something that's really simple for a simple use case, but that's widely expandable so that contrib modules and shops with lots of developers can build their own tools, can expand on it to do more fancy things.
Wow. So this is, for Drupal people and people who kind of have been trying to, playing in this space, of course, as you said, features is popular. So sort of like features going into core. But I mean, for your average user, it just means that you can actually do that best practice where people say you should work on a dev site first and figure everything out and then literally kind of move your site to your live site without having to click every single freaking thing on the menu every time.
All over again. That's right.
That is slick.
And it's interesting because, a lot of people have said, well, we can't get away from our users making changes on the live site. That's what they want to do. But I mean, one of the reasons that they want to do that is because right now they don't have any other choice, right? I mean, right now, if you've got a user, say you've got a client that's like somewhat more advanced than your average client, and they can make their own views or whatever. There's no like easy way for these people to make views on a separate site and then go and push them live without some pretty complicated theatrics behind it. Whereas now you'll be able to do that really simply, and not just views. I mean, they'll be able to create taxonomies and make it live, or any of your site settings.
So this is really cool stuff and would be super, super useful. But so where are you? Like what have you gotten done so far? Like what are the actual rubber meets the road things so far?
About a year and a half ago, we had our first sprint around this. It was me, David Strauss, Larry Garfield, Chex, and Webchick. And we architected the sort of version one of the configuration management system that was built. We had some basic code that we came out of that sprint with, and I expanded and wrote the initial a lot of the initial core patch with some help from a wide variety of people at code sprints around the world, honestly. And that patch went into core. And then we started doing implementations of this stuff really in earnest around Denver. And as we worked on those implementations, what happened was what I always knew would happen, which is that when you start using a system that you had designed but never used before, you encounter flaws in it and different things don't work the way that you expected them to. And so that led into a re-architecture, a lot of which was sort of run and driven by Daniel Kudvin in Germany, a son, with a lot of help from Alex Pott, who lives in England. And we started sort of doing a lot of re-architecture of the system and reorganizing a lot of things and cleaning up a lot of the APIs. And we've been spending a lot of time getting those issues done, while at the same time working on conversions of core pieces to the system. And so all of that work is continuing and ongoing. There's like issues to convert all of the system settings forms in core to configuration management system to, you know, we have a goal to get rid of the variable system in Drupal 9. And so there's, you know, issue to get rid of that lists every single variable that's used in Drupal and then spawning off conversion issues off of that to convert those things to use the configuration system or the new, there's also a new state system in core for stuff that's not configuration, but it's more about the state of a specific server for things like last time cron was run and stuff like this. And so all of that work is going on, but there are still some big pieces that need to be done, of which the two biggest are multilingual functionality and the actual UI that you use to import your configuration.
A UI.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about a very simple UI. It's basically, here's a list of all of the configuration changes you have. Do you want to accept them or not? And, you know, it's no cherry picking, no diffing, nothing like that. And even the building of that in a way that makes sense has been a lot of work, and has gone through many iterations, all of which have been painful. And so those are really our two biggest tasks in my mind right now.
So feature freeze is coming, but does that have to be done before feature freeze? Or is that the kind of thing that you could clean up after feature freeze? Like, is that a, where does that fall in that line, that timeline?
A lot of that is really sort of a judgment call. But for instance, we would want some kind of UI committed before feature freeze, and then we can iterate on it after. Right. And multilingual is the same way. That problem space is hugely complicated. And one of the biggest problems in working on it is that there's so very few people who really understand it. I sure don't. And so as we've gone on and on, I had always hoped that somebody would step up and say, I'm going to own multilingual for CMI. And it never happened. And as we on and on, we had to kind of keep de-scoping and de-scoping that feature until we got to the point where we couldn't de-scope anymore. And we're like, we're just going to have to build something.
You have to have something basic in place to deal with it.
Yeah.
So for those people out there who are really interested in multilingual and you want it to work with this new system, you better get on it.
And it's really complicated because it's like there's things like, for instance, your site slogan, right? And you want to be able to translate that from one language to another. So that's one thing. But then there's also things like, for instance, the URL to your site's front page. Now, you may want that different between two sites, but it's not a translation per se, right? It's just a different piece of configuration depending on which site you're on. And then you still need to know which of these things are actually translatable so that the translators can run their tools that suck all of the strings out so that they can have a list that they can do translate and put into those .pa files that they use and stuff like this. It's all horribly complicated. It makes my head hurt.
Okay, so
I have the utmost respect for Gabor for the work that he's done on. Oh my God!
Yeah, we've talked with him as well, and it's pretty amazing when you look at the work that he's done, and he's spent 9 years working on multilingual stuff in Drupal, and still work to try and make it better for everybody. It's pretty astounding stuff.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
He is. He is. I really like him. Okay, so if people do want to help you, if people are very excited about this new feature. Where would someone go to actually get more information than just what we've talked about on this podcast and so that they could actually get that overview, understand where things are and find a place to dive in?
All of the configuration management, issues are tagged configuration system in the Drupal.org issue queue. And we've been trying to be very on top of labeling things that are easy for people to get into as config novice.
Nice.
So for new people. I'm also in the process of building out the documentation section in the handbook for the configuration system. So that'll be a good place for people to go. If you look in the documentation system of Drupal.org, there's a section where it lists Drupal APIs and then has documentation for them. And then there's a section on the configuration system. A while ago, I had written a blog post called How to Use the Configuration System, and it documented the architecture and all of how to use it, how to convert modules and stuff like that. And it was really useful as a jumping off point for people, but the architecture and a lot of the stuff in that thing is so out of date now that I'm having to rewrite it and rebuild it. So, but when that's done, that'll be a good place. And it's actually got a lot of information already. It's a good place to start now, regardless.
All right. We'll put a link to that in the podcast notes as well. Yeah.
But you can always, on IRC, approach either me or Sun or Alex Pott and ask us if you want to get involved. The other thing that I've been doing for the last couple of months is I gave up all of my contract work and have been attempting to raise funds so that I can work on CMI full time. Because when I was in, about a year ago, I was in Sweden. I was working for a company, Node One, and they were giving me 50% time to work on CMI. And when
Which is
I left,
pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was totally amazing. And when I left and came back to the States, I was having a really hard time juggling freelancing and making my life work in a new place and all of this kind of stuff with getting CMI work done. And so I started approaching companies about funding me to do this work. And it's been amazingly successful to the point where now I'm looking at not only funding me, but funding other members of the group.
Nice.
Through this. And so, and there will be more information about that coming out very soon. But it's been really good. And I've been really surprised at that. I've actually been able to make that work.
All right. Well, so we should probably wrap up. But thank you very, very much for,
no, thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get some people inspired to help out and make it all rock in Drupal 8 for us.
I welcome them with open arms.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much, sir. So I just really want to thank all of these folks that were on the podcast and the people who've been helping them out for tremendous, tremendous effort in the community. It's a lot of work to pull off the kinds of things they're trying to do, and that's made even larger by having a large volunteer community to try and wrangle around them. And so for someone who's never had to do that before, you may not realize the scope of the task, way beyond just writing code. So huge, huge thanks to everybody who is working on the Drupal 8 initiatives. And I definitely would encourage anybody, if you any of those things piqued your interest or sound like things that are going to impact you in Drupal 8, I encourage you to get involved now. Just go and look and see what's going on. Find out what's happening. Maybe you can actually help move things forward. All kinds of feedback is needed. You don't have to be a master coder in order to help make Drupal better. So please go check them out. We have lots of links in the podcast notes, so you can go and find where your niche is and get your Drupal on. So thanks a lot, and I will talk to you all in a few weeks.